Peyton and I got up at 4 o'clock this morning to come out here to the lake. We've been getting up for a lot of years to watch sunrises together. And with everything going on right now, I just really wanted to see a great sunrise. I hope you get to see a great sunrise too. There's something about sunrise that just brings hope, right? New beginnings, new day, new start. And I think we all need a little bit of hope right now. I know I do, and I think you probably need some hope too. Hope that things are gonna get back to normal, back to a routine, that the kids are gonna get back to school. Hope that you can get back to your job. Hope that your 401k is gonna get back to where it was. Hope that we're gonna get to reconnect with each other again, and hope that you can hug your grandparents again, that you can hug your grandkids again, that you can hug anybody again, right? Just to be connected again. Hope is such a powerful thing. And yet I believe that there is a very real enemy in this life that wants to steal your hope. He doesn't want to just take your job. He doesn't just want to take your livelihood or your life savings. He doesn't just want to take your relationships. He wants to take your hope. He wants to crush it, to grind it out of you, to drown it in the darkness. On that day when Jesus died, the disciples didn't just lose their friend and their leader. They lost their hope. I mean, that Saturday when Jesus was in the tomb, we call it Silent Saturday, was so dark. And the emotions, there were a lot of emotions on Easter Sunday morning, but hope wasn't one of them. In fact, the disciples felt like they had lost everything. If you've ever lost hope or lost faith, you're in good company, because the disciples on Easter Sunday morning, they didn't believe. There were no believers on Easter Sunday morning. There was no one standing outside the tomb counting down from 10. 10, 9, 8, cue the sun. 6, 5, 4, here comes Jesus. No one thought that. No one believed that. In fact, the records of the early believers are fascinating, because they actually documented their unbelief. No one expected to see Jesus rise from the dead, because they thought that Jesus would do what dead people always do, stay dead. And so maybe you've heard this story many times, but maybe you've missed this important piece of the story. That not one of Jesus' followers looked into that empty tomb and expected to see an empty tomb. And not one of those disciples who looked into the empty tomb and saw an empty tomb assumed a resurrection. In fact, they assumed that someone had stolen the body. We have these eyewitness accounts that are recorded. You should read them today. There's one in Mark chapter 16 and John chapter 20 and Luke chapter 24. And Luke tells us that Peter looked into the tomb and saw that it was empty, and he went away confused and wondering what it meant. That when the women came and told the guys that the tomb was empty, that they thought the women were just speaking gibberish, and they didn't believe them. And John says that they actually proclaimed, like, someone has taken his body. There's this crazy thing where the disciples, the earliest believers, they documented their own unbelief, because it was a difficult thing to believe that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. They'd lost all of their hope when Jesus was crucified. Let me ask you this morning, have you lost your hope? Are you in a place where you're discouraged and you're wondering if God's still in control? The story that I really want to draw your attention to today is not from Easter Sunday morning, but actually from later that evening, on Sunday evening. And the disciples are gathered together. They're actually hiding, because they think whoever came after Jesus is going to come after them. And so they're hiding in a room where the doors are locked and the windows are closed and the shades are drawn. And then in the middle of that room, in the middle of their gathering, Jesus just appears. And he asks them a question. I think it was Jesus' favorite question to ask his disciples. He asked them a question he'd asked them before. Why are you afraid? It's as if he's asking them, did you think the sun was not going to rise? They'd lost their hope. Have you lost your hope this morning? Have you forgotten today that the sun has risen? And so Jesus steps into that moment to restore their hope. And you might say, yeah, but this, what we're going through right now, this, what we're going through in these times, this is unprecedented. That's a word that's getting used a lot right now. And Jesus would say, unusual? Yes. Very difficult? Yes. But unprecedented? Unprecedented is when a man predicts his own death and resurrection and then pulls it off. That's unprecedented. And it's through Jesus' death and resurrection that we have hope, because it's through his death and resurrection that Jesus Christ conquered death on our behalf. You realize Jesus is God. He didn't need to conquer death on his behalf. He conquered death for you and for me so that we can have hope and have hope eternal. Peter wrote it down. Peter had lived many years after Jesus, before he was actually beheaded. That's what tradition tells us, that he was beheaded under Nero's Rome. Not for what he believed, not for what Jesus taught, but for what he believed he saw. Peter was willing to go to death for that. But before he died, he wrote a couple of letters. And in one of these letters, 1 Peter, he says this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter, who believed and then unbelieved, and then denied that he ever believed, and then believed again, Peter says that Jesus is his Lord. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance. And who gets an inheritance? Children get an inheritance. And we're children of God because Jesus has said that we have been invited to call God our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. So we have an inheritance that can never perish, can never spoil, can never fade. And I would add, can never fall victim to sickness. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. This inheritance, it's kept in heaven for you and me eternally. Peter believed in heaven, interestingly enough, not because of what he was taught as a child, but Peter believed in heaven because of what he saw as an adult. And that is what gave him everlasting hope. So you get to choose today. Will you choose an eternal hope? You can, by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And why not? I mean, can you make the sun rise? Can you breathe life back into a dead body? Can you heal what's broken with our world today? Can you control even your own life? You have nothing to lose by placing your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ today. There is a living hope that waits for every one of us. And it's simple, really. It's simple. It begins with admitting that we are broken and that we need a healer. Admitting that we are sinners who need a Savior. And then surrendering our lives to Him. It's a simple prayer that goes something like this: Dear Jesus, I'm broken, I'm a sinner, and I need you to be my Savior. I recognize that your death on the cross and your resurrection has given me power over death through you, through your resurrection. And so I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I surrender my life to you. I give you everything that I am and everything that I have, because I want a new living hope in you. Amen. Well, I was really hoping that Peyton and I would get to see a sunrise today and that we get to share it with you. But we've been getting up early for a lot of years to see sunrises together. And one thing that we've learned over the years is that we don't always get to see the sunrise. But it doesn't mean that it's not happening. Later on today, we'll see the proof that the sun has risen. And in that, we'll also know that we have hope and that you and I have living hope today. So sunrise or no sunrise, we celebrate today that the sun has risen and that by rising from the dead and conquering death on our behalf, he gives us a living hope. And so I invite you right now to celebrate with us. We're going to sing together and we're going to celebrate a living hope that conquers the grave. We're going to celebrate a living hope that conquers every trial and every tribulation in our life. We're going to celebrate a living hope that offers you and I the opportunity to call God our Heavenly Father. There is an empty tomb that we celebrate today, a resurrection that gives you and I hope over death and hope over the trials and tribulations of this life. So let's sing together and let's celebrate together our living hope.